Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, to get the sun back in the sky. Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, about a thousand kisses shy.
In 1957, the Broadway premiere of Meredith Willson's The Music Man is credited with bringing about a noticeable mainstream reinvigoration of barbershop singing across North America, while an organized revival movement was already quietly underway. The musical thrust the art form into the cultural spotlight in a definitive way, as we're told by EBSCO.
Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, without a sweetheart to my name.
The Buffalo Bills formed as a barbershop quartet in Buffalo in 1947 and appeared on Broadway in The Music Man and the film version. The quartet won the 1950 International Championship. In 2025, 75 years after that, Lemon Squeezy became the International Barbershop Quartet Champions at the Barbershop Harmony Society International Convention in Denver. They've recorded albums, traveled all over the world, and created their own style, striving to push the envelope of what an a cappella quartet can be.
In peaceful dreams I see.
We're about to learn that there is indeed a kind of resurgence of barbershop singing in the here and now, and we'll have a chance to sample old and new on May 31st when the Wyoming Valley Barbershop Harmony Chorus presents its spring concert titled The American Dream, a musically fueled Americana road trip. Will McCain has recently become the director of the chorus, and he stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk about his own musical journey, what's been happening in the world of barbershop in recent years, and what the singers will be offering on May 31st.
I think I really discovered it in high school in a big way. Of course, I grew up singing in church and things like that as, you know, young. But in high school, I really found a real love for formal choral music, madrigal groups, Broadway styles, you know, all the things that you find as you come through music in school.
Good mentors, good teachers.
I actually had a chance to work with some of the best directors that you could find through high school and college. Dr. Johnny Ray Jones, Dr. Bill Weinert, Dr. Natsy Osmond Moore had some really great mentors coming through. So it just really kind of guided the path. I always knew very young that this was what I wanted to do.
What about being in New Orleans, all the different kinds of music in New Orleans?
It is a cultural smattering of anything that you need. Everything is there. It's really a port to the universe. Musical, culturally, the food is great. But, you know, while I was down there, that's where I was really working with some really fine directors and really honing in where I was working, kind of scattered a little bit through theater and, you know, formal choral conducting while I was there.
And you told us that there was that event that was catastrophic.
Oh, yeah, Katrina. That was something. Waking up that morning was quite a thing. We did get away. We weren't there in the heart of it that morning, but we were in Baton Rouge the morning that it happened. But even then, waking up, the sky was littered with helicopters. It was a scene out of one of these Armageddon movies. It was really something. Don't want to ever live through anything like that again. But it, you know, it's a new beginning. It closed a door and opened a new path for somewhere else to go. I landed in New York City because of it.
And you continued your work with music and theater?
I did. I had a chance to finally really dive into it there. I was just turning 30 when I got to New York City. So, you know, hit the ground pretty hard. I got involved with the Big Apple Chorus, which was a great experience. A lot of fun. Very hugely established chorus in the Barbershop Harmony Society, and was there for a few years. And some of us in your 30s at that time, you're considered a youngling in the Barbershop Harmony Society. Now it spans down into the 20s and high school folks are coming into the art form. It's really great to see how it's grown. But we formed a new entity called the Voices of Gotham while we were there. I was the founding president of the Voices of Gotham, and that organization has blossomed into be one of the finest a cappella organizations in the world. When we go to the international for the Barbershop Harmony Society, they're regularly in the top 10. So although I don't work with them much anymore, very proud to see the seed sprout. It's quite an accomplishment. I love watching them move forward.
Will, to what do you attribute the growth of barbershop singing drawing younger folks in?
You know, it's really tough right now, but I think the fact that the arrangements that we have today are not the old songs. And when I say the old songs, when we think of barbershop, we think of vaudeville and minstrel shows, you know, the late 1800s, the early 1900s. And, you know, modern barbershop, the old songs now are from the 80s, you know, so there's a lot of new arrangements, and the style of arrangement isn't quite as square. We still get that nice pull to the seventh chord, that the barbershop chord that we love so much. But with the new arrangers that we have today and the more contemporary music that comes through, I think it really is attractive to young singers.
Tell us about that ringtone that's greater than the sum of the parts.
Oh, the overtones?
Yes.
Okay, so I love this question. So overtones work both ways, actually. You can have an overtone and an undertone. What's happening here sonically is each tone is a frequency. A frequency is a wave. And when we look at pitches that are happening together, these waves will sometimes intertangle or marry or move simultaneously. When that happens, we get extra pieces kind of chipped in. Some of us call it the angels are chipping in to help us out. And we will actually hear a whistle type sound above or a more resonant sound underneath these overtones and undertones. And they are a very real thing. That's one of the things I love about barbershop music, the overtones and the undertones. But it's one of the forms of music that, you know, we listen to some of our favorite singers do Broadway ballads and these kind of things. We can feel them emotionally. With barbershop, you have that same emotional feel, but you can feel it physically in the body. The rib cage will rumble, hairs on your arms stand up. It's really, really something.
Well, then you moved from New York City to the Wyoming Valley, and you picked up with barbershop here, but you kept your hand in it there.
I did. For a while, I was still involved with some of the New York entities, Big Apple and Voices of Gotham. Actually, I was about to go back and direct Big Apple right before the pandemic hit. After the pandemic, I really settled in here. But I had two choruses. I had a youth chorus and a seniors chorus in New Jersey, as I was still kind of bouncing in and out of New York. And when I settled in here, kind of took a step back from barbershop a little bit. And I would visit the chorus here from time to time over the 10 years I've been here. And when the past director was stepping out, he just gave me a call and he said, I know you're not directing now. Would you like to give this a shot, give it a run here?
What does it mean? What does it take to be a director of a barbershop chorus?
Well, anytime you're directing any ensemble, you want to understand the form that you're working in with a cappella and choral music, especially, you know, the pedagogy, how to shape the words, sounds, these kinds of things. With barbershop especially, and most forms will have this as a piece as well, but I find especially with barbershop, the storytelling piece is what makes it so much fun and so interesting.
How long have you been at the helm here then?
This is my first year with the Wyoming Valley Barbershop Harmony Chorus. I mean, I've been directing since 2007, but this is my first year here.
And so this is the big concert, and you had to do the programming for this, did you?
We did. Well, I have a team. We have a music team that gets together, and we decided on a theme together, and I had some stuff in my library. They had some things in their past they wanted to do. I think I pushed them a little hard, as normally groups will use a lot of their past repertoire and kind of dust it off. I put in a lot of new music for this group, and so we've really had our shoulder to the wheel the past year. It's been a labor of love.
We know so many groups now, arts groups, are acknowledging the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration.
Yeah.
Does the theme have any resonance with that?
Absolutely. So our theme this year, it's Americana, you know, the American dream. We wanted to not really use a patriotic base for this so much as feelings of hope, of opportunity, of growth, especially with Barbershop and its climate today, with generations coming together and moving forward as a culture, as a country, as a people.
While we're talking about this, what about the coming together of the male barbershop singers and what used to be the Sweet Adelines, the integration of men and women in a barbershop?
Oh, yeah, that's been an amazing development. So I think it was right before the pandemic, 17, 18, 19, somewhere right around there, the Barbershop Harmony Society decided to open up to all diversity. Everyone is welcome to join. And we've really, really seen a huge diversity warm to this. We have choruses now that are all women, choruses that are all men, mixed choruses. The quartet groups and ensembles are on fire right now with the diversity that we're hearing in these ensembles, the ranges that they have, the new stories that they're bringing to the platform. It's touching and it's exciting. I love it.
Your chorus here in the Wyoming Valley has, I'm sure, variable numbers of people depending on who's available at what time, but generally, what numbers would you have?
On a general meeting night, we'll have 20, 25 on a big night, you know, maybe 30 people will come. And as we're pointing into the concert, some of the core members are getting a little more serious. We're seeing 20, 22, 25 people on our risers. We're actually, I direct the group in Tunkhannock as well. And so we're going to bring the two choruses together for the concert on the 31st. So we'll have a pretty large number on the risers.
And as conductor, what does that mean for the challenges when you have numbers like that?
Honestly, I enjoy having a larger group better than a smaller group. The smaller groups are a little more challenging, I find. It's easier to tuck and hide when you have a larger number. It's easier to put like voices together, and you have a little more leadership throughout the ranks as you have larger numbers. The difficulty here has been geography. You know, I have a rehearsal on a Monday night. We have a rehearsal on a Thursday night. And very rare do we have any mixed community. We have been getting together once a month for larger groups. And that's been incredible to hear that sound. When you add more voices, it's just like an organ. You know, the more stops that you pull out, the bigger sound you have. It works exactly the same. I'm really, really excited about the joint sound between the two groups together. It's a big, solid, regal, royal sound, and I really love it.
What will you give us then on the 31st?
It's going to be really interesting. So we're going to do some of the older barbershop style. We're going to have a lot of the newer contemporary stuff. We're even going to step out of barbershop a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of doo-wop. We're going to have a little bit. We've got a Beach Boys medley that's coming through. There are some very modern choral-esque type pieces. So a lot for everybody. There's going to be funny moments. There's going to be some touching moments. This concert's really for everybody. You don't have to be a barbershop fan to come out and enjoy this. This is, if you're a fan of music, you got to see the show.
I remember speaking with Justin about one of the special spring concerts, and he talked about scenery. We always remember the straw hats and the people with vests and the old style, but do you dress up at all? Do you get involved in anything like that?
We do. We're going to have some costuming. The first half of the show is going to have one look. The second half of the show, we go into more formal, we'll have a different look. Of course, the theater where we are has some great lighting and you know, projection and things like that we'll use. But mostly for our first year, because we've stepped so deeply into some pretty difficult things musically, we focused mostly on the musical product, but there'll be some visuals there. It'll be fun to see as well.
Is that at Wyoming Seminary?
It is, in Kingston, 2 p.m. on May 31st, Sunday.
What about the fellowship in barbershop singing groups?
Sure. Well, you know, before we had the big mix of diversity, and this was a fraternity organization, we had that fraternal code. So it was sing your songs and then go have a beer. As we've grown and brought more folks in, there's actually a group of us from our rehearsals now that will go out on a Monday night. We'll enjoy karaoke, have some appetizers. You know, there is a strong fellowship there. This is community. And we've moved from fraternity to family, which I think is really, really fun. There's a lot of mentorship with this as well. So when young folks do come in, or even someone who's new to barbershop, we're happy to share the art form, and it's done a little differently than most of the singing that you've done. So there's always someone to put their arm around you, take you into a corner, and teach you some good old tags or some polecats, and bring you right into the fold.
There have been times when we pick up the paper and see that you all are offering singing valentines. Is that a tradition with this ensemble?
It is. It's really big with our group. I was really surprised and happy to see that when I came here. There's a lot of the old traditional programs that they don't work, but this is one that they have going really strong. It seems to be a favorite fundraiser of the year for them, and I love it. I was not very involved with that this year. I came on a little later, but I'm excited to see that happen as we move forward.
And the fact that you have a chorus of, let's just say, 20, are there quartets that are subsets of that?
Absolutely. So they're all pretty well established. One of the groups actually went to a contest, the big international contest, 2 years ago. I think Justin was the old director, was a part of that. We're proud of him for that. He gave us a great show. There's two, maybe three other quartets that kind of swing through. The reason I say swing through, they have some joint members that they kind of share. One thing really interesting, and I'm super proud of, is our ladies. We've had a big influx of female membership join the group since I've been the director. And we have enough that they've even formed a quartet as well. We have a female quartet in Wilkes-Barre, right here in the Wyoming Valley. And, you know, two of them are brand new to barbershop, and they are singing really well. I'm really, really proud of them. And I'm just proud to have a quartet, a ladies' quartet in our area. That's such a rare thing. And to have them be so strong singers and great storytellers just really gives us something to be proud of.
Remind us of the importance of the arranger.
Oh, that can be night and day. So one of the songs that we have that we're doing this year is Shenandoah. And I knew that I wanted to do a piece in our Americana concert that was kind of based on a landscape of the country that we live in. Shenandoah was a great space to do that. We probably looked through at least 8 different arrangements before we decided on the one arranger that we decided to work with. And it's a difference of how they will stack a chord, how they put the story together, how they end the song, you know. So all of these things really come into effect with that. And, you know, we chose the one that took the storytelling in the way that I wanted that to happen, but wasn't the easiest piece. You can choose some songs at an easier level. In choral music, we have a level 1 to 5, 1 being, you know, fairly simple, 5 being, you better put your thinking cap on and study.
It sounds like you are welcoming members. If people are interested in trying it out, tell us what they should do.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to any of our socials. We're on Facebook and TikTok and all the socials. You can go to wbsings.com, and we have a web space there. Find out where we meet, when we meet. We meet Monday nights at 7 at the Wesley Center. And it's always open, always welcome. We're happy to have any vocalists, any singers, anyone who's interested in this kind of thing. And it's all ages, everybody.
Will McCain, he's recently become the director of the Wyoming Valley Barbershop Harmony Chorus. And he's been speaking with us in anticipation of the big spring concert, The American Dream, a musically fueled Americana road trip that will take place on May 31st, that's a Sunday afternoon at 2, at the Kirby Center for Creative Arts at Wyoming Seminary in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre on Sprague Avenue. It's the Wyoming Valley Barbershop Harmony Chorus, in a program titled The American Dream, a musically fueled Americana road trip, on Sunday, May 31st at 2 in the afternoon, the Kirby Center for Creative Arts, Sprague Avenue, on the campus of Wyoming Seminary in Kingston, across the river from Wilkes-Barre. For more information on the web, that's singwb.com. singwb.com.